It is my pleasure to see all of you. I have been looking forward to a time like this where we could meet to share the word of God together. I know it is not our wisdom all the time when such things happen. It is God who engineers everything like this. Flying 21 hours from Harare to Fort Worth, it's not a joke, but it is his protection. My wife is not with me at this time, possibly 2017, Lord willing. We may probably be here again if God gives us life. I will be flying to Florida on Tuesday and then to Alabama before I fly back to Texas, where I will take my flight back to Africa on April 28. This morning, we are going to talk about the Bible. We want to talk about why the Bible is to be our guide in life and in religion. We are having three areas that I would like us to look at. But before we do that, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We want to read verse 15 to 17. It says, "And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 16, "All scripture is inspired, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." In these three verses, we find a challenge to the fact that the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through our faith in Christ Jesus. That's the only way it can be done. It is through when we read the scriptures, study them, and then we can have that wisdom that we need through faith to have salvation. And he says in verse number 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's useful to teach us, to correct us, and to train us in all righteousness." So we see here that the scripture, when we look at the scripture were given by inspiration. That the word inspiration basically means it's a process where God led through the Holy Spirit these biblical writers to record accurately the things they may have heard, they may have seen, and the things that were revealed to them. That's inspiration. When the Bible says all scripture are inspired by God, inspiration is the process where biblical writers recorded accurately the things they saw, the things they heard, and the things that were revealed to them. So the Bible says all scriptures are inspired by God, and they are useful to teach us so that we can do things that are right, that will help us to enjoy eternity. There are three things that I would like us to explore in this lesson. First, we want to look at a few things that would reinforce our knowledge, that will strengthen our knowledge as Christians, as to why the Bible is of divine origin. Why is it? Why do we believe it? What are some of the reasons why the Bible is totally from God? And then the second, we want to look at an area where why is it our only guide? Why should it be our only guide in life and in religion? And then we will look at some things as we conclude our lesson, some of the things that we learn when we go to the Bible. So let's look at the first one. Reasons why the Bible is from God. As I'm going to say it again later in the lesson, it is important first that we know why and how the Bible is total of divine origin. Because that makes me to know that when I'm holding this book, I'm not holding a psychological book or a philosophical book. I'm holding the words of God. And so it becomes very important. Now, part of the reason when we lack knowledge about how it is totally of divine origin, sometimes we tend to look at this book very lightly. So what are some of the reasons? Now, we cannot spend all of them, we cannot explain all of them in our session like this, but we just want to touch a few of the things why the Bible is of divine origin. I think the first one is that the Bible specifically states that God is the origin of the universe. Turn with me, if you will, to a scripture that every one of you know, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Reading from verse 1, the very first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there has been a lot of intelligent guesses by certain scientists as to how this universe came into being. But all those have just tend to be intelligent guesses. They are not factual. Because in the long run, even when we look at sometimes their science, when we look at really true science, not pseudoscience, false science, when we look at true science, it shows that this universe is totally a result of supernatural causation. The Bible specifically states, in the beginning, God brought into existence from nothing to be there. So one of the reasons that you and me should believe the Bible to be from God is the fact that it states that God is the origin of the universe. If you were to consider like this statement in science that you might have, they tell us that every material effect that we have, every effect we have, it must have a cause. And I think that's from the law of cause and effect. Every effect in this material universe must have an actual cause that existed before it. You look at a big jet that can carry 400 people. Did it just happen to be there? No. It needs someone who is a qualitative in intelligence to have brought it into existence. This universe is so vast that no person could have caused it. It requires something greater. Our universe is so vast, and it is such a great effect that it demands supernatural intelligent cause. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If we are in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, let us all read verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, that statement in Hebrews chapter 11 is quite pregnant with meaning. Listen to it. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God simply said, let there be, and it was so. Let there be, and it was so. Because he is the origin of all of it. Not only that, we learn that the things which are seen, the things we see, were not made from things that are visible. Isn't that what we read in Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And remember, John 4 verse 24, God is a spirit. When we are studying the attributes of God, we learn that God is not only eternal. God is not only omnipotent. He's not only
God is a spirit being. And therefore, who caused all this material universe to be there? Hebrews says it was not framed by the things we see, but the things we do. God is a spirit being. We don't see him. He is a being who is the spirit. And so nothing that is physical could have created our material universe. You remember many years ago, the first law of thermodynamics says that matter and energy cannot be created by any non-chemical or physical processes. There is no way you can bring any material. Brother, can you do that? Can you bring a leaf, just a leaf, from nothing? Can you do that? No one can do that. But God is able because he is supernatural. He is divine. So one of the reasons when I carry my Bible and I'm reading it, that makes me to believe this book is, it tells me the origin of where I came from, the origin of all the material universe that I see. And therefore, I have no doubt that God is the uncaused first cause. He is the one who was not caused, but he was the first to cause everything to be there. And so you see, brethren, it is a very important and a very strong point for us to know that the Bible is from God. Secondly, we need to remember this, as I've said before. We need to know how, why the Bible is of divine origin. Because when we lack knowledge about it, how it came to be, it can cause a lot of big problems. We will begin to swim into these false scientific statements that tells us some things that are not true about where we came from, where we are going. So why do we believe the Bible is of divine origin? Now, our first point was just looking at the material universe. But now let's go into the Bible itself and see some other statements that are actually more appealing for us to know that this book is of divine origin. The Bible writers were told to write. Now, that word, write in a book, if you have read your Bible very well, it appears in several scriptures. And I want to show some of those scriptures. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. Exodus, chapter 34. We are reading from the 27th verse. Exodus, reading from verse 34. Verse 27. Notice this. Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses is being told, I want you to write these words. Write them somewhere. So the Bible is totally of divine origin, because biblical writers were commanded to write. Turn again to Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30, reading from verse 8. Isaiah 30, verse 8. The scripture says, as God was talking to Isaiah, now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that for time to come forever and ever. He says, the people of Israel are now rebellious. I want you to write these things on a tablet of stone, on a scroll. Write them so that it can be a testimony for them. God writers were commanded to write. Again, turn with me to Jeremiah 30, verse 1 and 2. Biblical writers were commanded to write these things. And so the Bible is totally of divine origin, because God himself commanded them to write. In Jeremiah, the first verse and the second verse, here is what we read. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, Israel, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. Can you see the trend of the scriptures?
Again and again, God said to these biblical writers, write in a book. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read that when they were doing that, they were being guided by the Holy Spirit to record accurately the things that they were being told to write. So the Bible is totally a book of divine origin, because biblical writers in the Old Testament were commanded to write. But that's not only the Old Testament. Turn to the New Testament scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse 37. Again, you see the word write to show that this book is totally of divine origin. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, reading from verse number 37. Paul says, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandment of the Lord. Again, he wrote not his things, but they were a command. God commanded him to write those things. So biblical writers did not record their own things, writing under a command. Finally, let's go to Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. Reading from verse 10 and 11. We are all exploring on this point how Bible writers were commanded to write. In the 10th verse of chapter 1, the scripture says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last. And what you see, write in a book. And send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. The trend is simply the same. Write these things. I have only picked a few of these scriptures to show that biblical writers were commanded to write. But now, why is the Bible a book totally of divine origin? Not only because it says God is the origin of the universe. Not only does it say that the writers were commanded to write. But we learn that the Bible is of divine origin because of its fulfilled prophecies. Now I think Brother Jonathan was talking on the evidences. We have a number of scriptures where something was said in the Old Testament, and it was fulfilled exactly the same as it was prophesied. Just one example, I have Psalm 41, verse 9. We're not going to read it because of our time. It was written in that passage that his disciple will betray him. And in John chapter 13, he was betrayed by a disciple. And we have so many verses like that. He will be born of a virgin, and he was born of a virgin. This actually fulfillment of prophecies in a very accurate way shows that the Bible is from God. Not only that, the Bible is unique and it is victorious. The Bible is unique in what sense? To countries like Zimbabwe and America, to countries that believe the Bible is the word of God, not only is it read in our homes and churches, in courts of law, the Bible is used. In government, the Bible is used. At weddings, the Bible is used. At funerals, the Bible is used. It's so unique. Can you use a commerce textbook at a funeral? You can't. The Bible is a book that is unique. Unique means something that is only of its own kind. And that's what the Bible is. And it is victorious. The more people have tried to attack it, the more it is being sold in larger quantities. The more other countries are saying we don't want the Bible here, the more Christians are sneaking in, and Christianity begins until it explodes in those countries. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. The Bible is totally a book of divine origin because, again, it says a better home than this. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that when I have prepared, I'll come and take you, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we have been looking at all these 5 points to show that the Bible is totally a book of divine origin. But why should it be our guide in religion? Well, because it has everything. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1, a very familiar scripture that I think most seasoned Christians would know. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 3. There the Bible tells us plainly in verse number 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Notice that. By his divine power, what have we been given? All things that pertain to life and godliness. All things you need to live well with your husband. This evening we will be talking about how do you know when your marriage is heading for trouble. Please come and hear that one. All the things we need to know about how I would live with my parents, how I live with other people, my relationship with others, all the things that have to do with this life, God has deposited it in the New Testament through the apostles. But that's not all. All the things that I need to do in this life in order to be with God and Jesus in eternity, God has given. All things pertaining to life and godliness, God has given us. All we need to do is to have time to look at those things. So the Bible should be our guide in religion because it has everything. And it will be used to judge us. John chapter 12, 48 says, he who rejects the word that I have spoken has another that will judge him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Let's read that scripture. John chapter number 12, reading from verse number 48. Scripture says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. You see, there's a scripture that I'm just thinking as I'm in front of you. That is very shocking, and I want us to read that one. Here he says that anyone who rejects what I have, says Jesus in speaking, the word that I have spoken is just like you tell your son, I want you to water these vegetables. And you go. When you come back and he has not done it, you say, did I not tell you to water the vegetables? Did I not? Yes, you did. Why did you not water the vegetables? Jesus said, the words that I have, but there's something more shocking about it. Turn with me to John 15, 22. John chapter 15, verse 22. If you are there, I'm reading. From John chapter 15, verse 22. If I had not come, notice these are the words of Jesus himself. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. We're not going to have any excuse of our sin on that day. Because he came and he spoke, he gave us his words to obey them. For our happy eternity. Unless if we want an eternity of everlasting punishment. We will not have any excuse. The Bible should be our guide because we will not have any excuse and the words that spoken will judge us. And even the scripture says so. The scripture tells us that we are going to be a people who will be judged. And not only that, through his word. 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And so this is the reason why the Bible should be our guide. It has everything for us. It will be used to judge us. And the scripture says so. It says, whoever speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4. And you notice that as we now conclude our lesson, you notice that when we indeed we go back to the word of God, there are different, a variety of things that God will tell us about what we need in this life and in the life to come. And you know what those things are. Let's look just at a few of those things. We learn that we must not keep company with bad friends, because bad friends can corrupt good morals. Proverbs, the writer of the book of Proverbs, said that a person who is wise will always be with those that are wise. But if a person who is foolish, he will always be with those that are foolish, and he will be destroyed. It is always important that when we go to the Bible, it tells us who to keep company with. We need to make sure that our Christianity is not corrupted by people who do have poisonous ideologies. We must make sure that we are trying to befriend people for the purpose of winning them. But if it comes to a point where we see that they are now going to influence us, we need to keep a distance with them, because bad friends can corrupt good morals. We need to remember Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. It says, do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it. We need to be very careful and know that when we go to the Bible, it has a lot that it can teach us. It teaches us to deny all ungodliness. Titus tells us that the grace of God has appeared, teaching us to deny all ungodliness. And so you have it. The Bible in various aspects will teach you and me what we need to be in order to be with him in eternity. The Bible teaches us to help those that are needy among our own congregation. We can notice, we can know that brother, that sister seems to need our help, and we do something to the best of our ability to do it. But even in other countries, like India, the Philippines, in my country, for example, this year there has been a lot of parts that have been affected with the drought, and in those parts, some Christians need to buy our staple food called corn meal. Whenever we are able, we need to do that. It is our obligation. Romans chapter 15, 26 shows that the brethren that were in Achaia, in Europe there, they were helping brethren in a foreign country in Jerusalem. We need to do that. So when we go to the Bible, it teaches us we need to be people who help. You know, I have said that in America, you people, you will not realize you are very blessed. I must say this before all of you. Because as I have been here, you go in a refrigerator. Sherry, this morning I woke up, I went, I opened your refrigerator. Sorry about that. And the refrigerator is full of food. Some, I think she doesn't know when she placed it there. It's not that way in Africa. It's not that way. You find when we have visitors, she tries to please the visitors. In the back room there, the children are crying because the food is not going to be enough. You have plenty plus here to spare. You can go once. You can go once to a restaurant and spare that $28, and it can buy 30 kgs of meal that can last a family of four for 1 month. You are so blessed. I was telling people when I first came to America, I said, you know, when I was there, never at one time was my shoe having dust. They said, you are telling? I said, yes. It's simply 4 steps into a car, then 4 steps into the supermarket, then 4 steps back, just into a car. I said, you never have to have a cloth to clean your shoes. You know, they were so surprised. Everyone was so surprised. I said, those people are comfortable. It's like they are in paradise, the way they live.
It can be described that way. Brethren, you are so blessed. And when I write to you through Brother Craig or other brethren, I say, there are a group of people, if you can spare your $50, your $100 to help them, you are doing a good job. Because the Bible teaches it. It teaches it. We need to make sure that when we go to the Bible, since it is of divine origin, God is telling us what he expects us to do. You know why God has blessed you and maybe other nations are not. Maybe God wants you to use you as his providential tools, as people that can help others. There is no way if a family in Zimbabwe or in the Philippines, there's no way if they do not have food because of natural disasters or something, there's no way manga can drop there or quail can drop there. God can use you with the extra blessings you have. I know you have a lot of things to take care of, but God can use you to help them. The scripture teaches that.
And as we conclude our lesson, let us remember, here are some other things that we can learn. The Bible can teach us to avoid things that corrupt the mind. I like Psalm. I teach Psalm a lot when I go in public school in Zimbabwe. I go in public school and teach God and morality. It's permitted there, unlike what I have heard here. And I like that scripture. Turn with me to Psalm 119 for a second. Very, very important. And those that are young people, please mark that scripture. It's very important. In the book of Psalm chapter 119, reading from verse 37, listen to what it says. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. We are living in a world that has so much technological devices, such that some of them, as we already know, they are so handy that the young person can take that, go with that tablet, and the internet is always on here. Here in all homes, you have internet. It's like a necessity already, something that you have. And you could try to be on the internet, and you try to go to homosexual sites and try to watch other things that are not. The Bible says, oh Lord, turn away my eyes from watching worthless. I'm just showing that when we go to this way, we see how our manufacturer, God, wants us to be in our real life and in our godliness. It teaches us to respect God's plan of merit. It teaches us to defend the faith that was delivered once for all. We need to defend it. There is one body, there is one faith, there is one calling. All that is for you and to stand strong by it and to defend it when a group of people begin to speak against it. The Bible teaches us all things we need in this life. I hope that these words that I have spoken will help you. And if you are not a Christian, you would need to remember that you need to escape the fires of hell. You need to do it now, because your mind can be hardened if you don't do it now. You need to remember there is no better time to do it than right now, because our God is a God who demands that our relationship is made right with God. Why should be the Bible our guide in life and religion? Because it has everything that we need. May God bless us. Let's stand and see. And you can come forward if you're not a Christian.